Welcome back to the Lion Podcast. My name is Aaron Alexander. This is a place that we bring together the world's leading experts in all things health and wellness to help you optimize your mind, body, and movement. Today's conversation is with a good friend, Gabby Reese. Gabby is someone that I look up to quite a bit, particularly in the realm of relationships. She's been with Laird Hamilton, another friend, for the last 28 years. And from what I've gathered from spending time with them, it's a really beautiful relationship. Still feels like they are girlfriend, boyfriend after having several children, being through all sorts of different things over the years. And I have a lot of admiration and respect for that. This conversation is largely about unlocking the codes to a healthy relationship with trust, safety, longevity, joy, growth, things of the like. Part of that would be around nervous system regulation. How do you be able to show up best for yourself? How do you show up to be able to love yourself? How do you show up to be able to love another person? And things of the like. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. I think it's a very important conversation. I think Gabby is filled with an immense amount of wisdom, and I'm grateful to get to share that with y'all today. Thank you for subscribing to get each week's episodes. Thank you for leaving reviews. Thank you for sharing this with whoever you share it with. And thank you for doing you. If you want to see the video version of this, you can subscribe over to YouTube at Align Podcast. All right, let's get to it with the beautiful Gabby Reese. Yeah, how often do you engage in specific nervous system, in quotes, regulation type activities?
If I'm not pool training, which I haven't been because it's just been so cold, probably if I'm lucky twice a week, realistically. I have a consciousness, you know, with nose breathing. So obviously I'm not walking around mouth breathing.
Yeah.
But as far as like a practice or something besides dedicated to breathing, maybe twice a week. And then if I'm pool training, it's for sure 3 days a week, because in a way that whole training, that's what you're doing, because that's how you're recovering. That's how you're doing everything, is, you know, getting offloading CO2, down regulating, oxygenating, going through the whole thing.
Yeah. What would be the highest leverage nervous system regulation? Sounds like such a kind of annoying word to use for that. It's a little bit too much. How do you calm yourself down? What's like the best technique to calm yourself down if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling stressed? As far as a technique to provide for someone
else? Very easily for me is once I learned that if the exhale was longer, so 5 seconds in, 7 seconds out, let's say ish, I might kind of drop into that kind of pattern, to drop into my parasympathetic, because that takes no time at all, 90 seconds to 2 minutes. And so rather it being something that I'm mentally trying to sort of tell myself, I just click over to, let me pay attention to my breathing pattern and get those, those exhales longer than those inhales. And then I also notice the tension in my body when I'm doing that. So I'm a person who will put on a mask. So, you know, the jaw, all my muscles tighten up. I get very kind of, it's like the worst elements of stoicism. It's like taking things that are meant to be good and sort of going a little far with them. So I've used that also as something to pay attention to and scan very quickly top to bottom. Where am I holding tension? And just being conscious of, as the exhale is happening, sort of invite that tension from that area of the body to also go with those exhales.
That's a really beautiful thing to share. You have a tendency of putting on a mask. Why do you do that? Why do you think, what do you think that originates from for you?
I think we all have variations of it, right? Because we have to be a lot of different people in the world. I think mine, for me in particular, maybe was exaggerated. It probably started when I was very young. I didn't live with my parents from age 2 to 7. I lived with a different family friends, a couple that were friends of my parents. So I don't know that I was given a ton of emotional kind of latitude as a kid. So I think I can remember sort of feeling like I was going to hold on. And so I use sort of an internal holding on. And it's also a natural part of my personality would be to kind of examine things for a while before I would commit to reacting to something unless it was sort of really immediate and urgent. And then you go into, and then I continued to kind of be in these weird environments as a kid with sort of unpredictability. So I would be very still and sort of use that as a mechanism to kind of calm myself or center myself, and then sort of use that to survey things around me to try to figure out the best either reaction, place for me to move to, plans to make, whatever needed to happen. And then now go into sports and they teach you to do that because for other reasons, right? Like you're competing and you're feeling pressure or it's not going your way. But you can't really afford to let everybody know that in the moment. So it sort of probably got turned up a little bit with that. And then if I really examined it, now that you're asking, I live with somebody. Laird is very dynamic and emotional and like sort of out there with it all, very different from me. And so I think sometimes, so I don't get caught in that. I also have a tendency to all just be really more still, because it also works well with our dynamic.
It's like balancing a pole or poles.
Yeah, I think so. But it helps me to be with someone like that who is kind of courageous and willing just to like, blah, here it is, you know? And even when I have to articulate something uncomfortable to somebody, I can remember, Laird saying that he had confronted a friend of ours about something. And I remember being like, oh my God. And he said to me, no, that is being loving.
Yeah.
Being honest that way is actually being loving. So I think that that's another really valuable lesson, is within trying to be fair, balanced, measured myself. At times, that's actually maybe not as loving and honest and intimate as somebody who's willing to just say, hey, this is what I think and feel. Mm-hmm. So I've had to look at that too, I think.
Yeah, in some ways, it's almost like a distrust of the person in front of you that they wouldn't be able to hold you in your authentic expression.
Yeah. Or I'll add to that as an extension of that. Because there's a part of my person, like I have, I think, a natural kind of nurturing and some other things in my personality. And if I'm oriented towards like telling the truth or doing the right thing, I would go that way. But there's also a part of me that is, I think, not disconnected, but harsh. And since I question that, I'm always really careful in my reactions where, for example, I'll use Laird as an example. He's really a soft, kind of heartfelt teddy bear. So he isn't questioning where he's coming from. So he just kind of says it. And he doesn't question like, is this coming from a good place or a scared place or whatever? And so I think it's also self-regulating, because you want to make sure you're making moves that, listen, if you're aspiring to try to be a certain way at times, sometimes that takes a really conscious effort, especially when it doesn't feel natural. You know, when I want to tell everyone to fuck off and I don't care or whatever, I know that's not how I feel in the long run. So I'm trying to, you know, control all those feelings or filter them to land at the place of like, hey, where do I really feel in the long run?
I wonder, you speaking as a woman, I think it's a very common thing for humans in general to feel, if they're able to have enough self-awareness to be able to identify that, it seems like almost as though I'm wearing a mask throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Women, I would imagine, have an even higher level of pressure to wear a mask, to the point that they actually physically put masks on their face every day. Yeah. And plastic surgeries and all the different things. And men have their own iterations of all that as well. But I wonder, for you speaking as a woman, what are specific, what evokes a sensation within you from your partner, or from maybe, I don't know, your community, people you're with, or yourself, that makes you distinctly feel safe to be like, wow, I really want to be seen at a more vulnerable way. And I don't feel like there's any necessity to wear the mask.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. My reasons are a lot more brutal than that. Because when I hear you say it, I'm like, oh, those aren't my reasons. I don't care about safety. I care about not having to go back and do damage control, apologizing, staying in a situation intertwined way too long because I stuck my foot in my mouth.
Yeah.
My thing is, I'm always looking for the most efficient, clean, get-in, get-outs, unless we're in a very intimate dynamic, like we're friends and we're having a real conversation, then it's just all there. But if it's like just day-to-day interactions with people, I'm looking to never be offended. I'm looking to not offend you if I can help it. I'm sort of looking to avoid all things that take extra excess energy that are have nothing to do with anything. So actually my reasoning is not about safety. It's about unnecessary entanglement, you know, and if at the end I've made a real, what has landed so clearly for me is that to be loving and compassionate and empathetic when I can is always the best way. It is not always the natural way. So I use that space, that time to say, okay, what does that look like for you to show up that way? And you know me a little bit. It's still not really warm and fuzzy, but it is of love and it will be of service, but it still has my tone to it, which is, you know, it's pretty matter of fact. So I think I just figured out if I was creating this code to live by, what were the dynamics that I would be able to do that? Because I'm not actually worried about being direct or telling you what I really think and feel, or you know, saying something that might be uncomfortable. It's more about, is it necessary, and is there a more productive way to get this done than, you know, kind of those tools? And so I think I'm usually trying to measure that out.
So it's more of like a surgical thing for you. Like this is the best, most like the stoic approach is the best approach to get the job done in this. And maybe I don't need to entangle so much like deep, vulnerable, kind of sappy, emotional stuff. And I'll just kind of put on like the mask to get her done.
Yeah. And, but I'm happy to be very honest about how I'm feeling, but it still comes across like, not such a reveal. It comes across as like here, you know, sort of a matter of fact, this is what I'm experiencing. So that ability to observe at times even can be about like, oh, I'm feeling frustrated. It doesn't mean I'm going to be taken down by my frustration. I'm going to be, you know, sidelined. It just means, oh, yeah, that emotion is higher today. So
I wonder, so you've been in relationship with Laird for, you mentioned before, 28 years.
Yeah, we've been together
right after a couple of years.
Yeah, we've been together. So November will be 29 years. We've been together, married 27 years, same time in November.
If you had to place a finger on some, like a couple, you know, secrets to longevity in a marriage.
Yeah.
What would be a couple things that stand out?
You know, Aaron, it's so interesting. I think it's all, it's like parenting, right? It's so wildly personal what people want and need and what works between two people. What I will say that maybe has shown up, it seems pretty powerful if each individual is coming to the relationship with the idea of serving the relationship and the other person. Having said that, I always joke, there, you know, Laird and I have, there's a military term, mutually assured destruction, MAD. I think in our case, what happens is both of us have pretty strong boundaries and pretty strong personalities. And so what we've decided, what's an interesting thing is it's almost created a neutrality for us where we don't even bother. You know, I am not nicer to any person than I am to Laird. And so, you know, usually that's the person that's in your pocket that annoys you, you annoy them, you're on top of each other. Why do you talk so loud? I've heard that story before. You know, it's just like, I mean, we've been together a long time, right? And then you add kids and the stress of, oh, that kid's doing that. And one parent's like, that's okay. And the other one's like, why are they doing that? And, you know, whatever. But if I come with the attitude of I'm here to try to make your life better, let me pay attention in the ways that seem to be right for you. And simultaneously to that, let me have a really strong sense of self and what I would like and what I need to kind of get through my days and also where I'm building towards. And that has really been powerful, because what I have learned, and that's why, for example, even me wanting to monitor, I don't want to control. I want to be in charge of my emotions, right? It's like, I just want to move as much towards positivity, meaning positive words, positive support. And sometimes you hear it usually with somebody who's like kind of more like she's soft and she's in a flowy dress and all that. But I know that to be of service and love is the end game. I know this. And so that has really helped. Now on other kind of more, not superficial, but let's say further down the rung of the ladder, Laird and I have a practice of a closeness or intimacy that has to do with us as a couple, not just, you know, we're parents of kids and we, you know, it's like, we're just going back to being a couple. I think we do that naturally pretty well. And I actually give Laird the credit for that, because the way he treats me, it's like, he still treats me like his girl, you know? So what happens is that evokes kind of that sort of timeless girl within me, that I direct that energy back at him. So he's very generous in that. But that of service part and making yourself happy, because nobody, even the best partner and the best partner for you, cannot do that for you. And especially as you get deeper into years and you become in some ways simpler as a person, because hopefully you're getting a little more mature, but then also you're more complex. Because you're looking at time and how much you don't have of it, or and what you want to do with it. So there's sort of this simplification, hopefully some wisdom's happening, but also then some really fine complexity of like, hey man, what is it really all about? So I think coming into it with that has been helpful. And then, you know, maybe similar values, how you get there. You get there very differently, but maybe how you feel about nature, your health, money, all this stuff, even kind of what time do you want to go to bed? If those sort of line up, that feels, yes, in the worldly terms, we've maybe been together from it, but I want to remind people that you can have also a successful relationship that lasted for 10 years. Like, I am not of the thinking that it's like, hey man, unless you run it out till somebody dies, it wasn't a thing. It's like, I see a lot of couples that kill it for 8 years or 10 years or 15. And that was a success. So I also think sometimes certain relationships have timelines.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we've done the work. Like, we did the job. I think we can move, we can move in another direction. That's yeah. Okay. When you said that Laird treats you like his girl, that's something that I noticed as well. He seems like you guys are like girlfriend, boyfriend, mm-hmm. which is amazing, and I think really important.
Yeah.
How specifically does Laird treat you like his girl? How does, like, what does that show up, and how could we learn from that as other folks?
Well, one of the beautiful things for me is, like, Laird, I think, even though he is rough around the edges, and again, you know Laird, he's very out there, right? Like, you just know where Laird's at. and I think for a lot of people too, it's like, whoa, but it's actually, I find it to be refreshing, and it's like, yeah, you never have to guess that here's this person. So you have somebody who's like that. But yet what I would say is that even though, for example, if I have friends over, girlfriends, for example, he is loving and kind, but certainly the only energy or sexual energy it's only directed at me. So you also know that there's something within, he treats me like his girl. It's like, I'm that one person that he's on that frequency with. And I, by the way, my friend could come over and he'll be like, you look pretty, but it's still said in a way that's not, it's like the best way. It's like, yeah. He wants you to know you're doing, like, you look good, you know? Yeah. And So I think one that he kind of has this pocket that is only held really for me. And then I would say he has it for our daughters differently. Obviously they're, you know, it's a father daughter love, and it has this special tenderness that is only for them, you know, mm-hmm. and it's quite beautiful. And then, you know, it's just, it's like the day in and day out. The way Laird looks at me, the way, you know, he has coffee waiting for me in the morning. If I'm talking to him, most times he pays, you know, he's listening. And I'm not super demanding on Laird's time. I'm an only child. Like, I'm fine to be alone. But what I appreciate is when he is there, man, he's locked and loaded. He lets you know that you're desired. He lets me know, like, I desire you. I'm, you know, it's sort of like, I know it sounds terrible, but it's like, it'd be easy for people to tire of one another.
Yeah.
Sure. So when you have a partner who is also contributing to that energy of like, I'm interested, I'm into it, that can be very powerful in both ways, right? Like, I find that, I think for men, if they don't have to feel like they have to chase more times, obviously there's always exceptions, but they shouldn't have to beg or chase for, or did it occur to her that like to go and that we haven't been together for a while? Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So I think the sensitivity on both sides, and for her, for him to be like, you can see that they're attracted to you. And also there's a deep respect between Laird and I that, you know, it's like training. It's like you're doing the right thing. These are things you have to practice every day. So when I wake up, it's not like I'm trying to earn the relationship, but what I am trying to do is show up today and do the best I can and really show up for this person. And I'm not assuming, because we've been together all these years and we have houses and kids and all this stuff and we're intertwined in business, that that's what's going to keep us together. I never think about that. I'm not riding on that. It's like, and I feel like Laird does that too. And finally, both of us, if it's not going to be good overall, like if it's not fun and it's not good, doesn't mean it's not hard, it's not work. Why bother? Why bother? Why be together? Why do anything? Like, it's okay, mm-hmm. you know? And what people don't realize is you can really contribute to how fun and cool and sexy and exciting and interesting your relationship is. And so I think that both Laird and I are not, you know, we're not sort of here to just be passengers in the thing.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a choice to choose joy or choose happiness or choose melancholy or choose sadness or choose disappointment or choose entitlement or choose whatever the thing is. There's a, you know, something subconscious driving it, but one does have the power to be able to make it a conscious choice. And something that I think they can show up in relationship, or at least something that I've experienced, is a feeling of, I want to be able to show up to do XYZ thing and be all of the things and, you know, make you my girl or you my guy or whatever. But I need to experience these things from you in order for me to, you know, so it's like this pay to play thing, and each partner kind of can come to a stalemate, and it's like a power dynamic of, I won't do the thing until you do the thing, and I won't do the thing until you do the thing. Yeah. And then you're going to be in a very, a high turmoil relationship that feels very vapid and sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's definitely a no-go on that. And this is something I've learned as a female. And again, I know sometimes people get charged up about this stuff, but I'm okay with it because I've seen enough evidence of this that I'm at least comfortable to say I've seen it enough that there's some place in the conversation for it.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
If I am in this dynamic with a person like Laird, so for example, you know, I had uncles, they're from Trinidad, and they used to tell my friend who was getting married, you know, when a man marries a woman, he hopes she never changes, that she stays, you know, so loving and beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And when a woman marries a man, the first thing she thinks is all the way she's going to change him, right? And so there is a maternal kind of thing, I think, sometimes that can create this dynamic where Laird, first of all, made it very clear in our relationship, like, I had a mom and you're not her. And so it was very clear. And what was great is it let me right off the hook. I'm not Laird's mom. So I never approach him like, you know, I just don't do it. But the other thing is, if I really want to inspire him or want change, let's say.
Yeah, how do you inspire
your partner? The most powerful way is I keep the high line. There have been so many times, Laird is very moody, right? I mean, that's how he is. He's like a wild animal, right? And so he'll be like grumpy and stomping around in this. And I think, first of all, this has nothing to do with me. So I don't need to get involved with this. But I don't need to cower away. I don't need to be afraid. But I just can cruise along and stay how I want to be. And what happens is it's that high line that when he's going up and down, the quickest way for me to be like, you know, you wouldn't talk like that to me if you love me or whatever this million things are, is I believe a lot of men are inspired through the softness and the loving energy more than I'm going to force you or tell you or dominate you.
For sure.
I don't think it works. I think if you go, my heart is, I'm here to love you. You're having a bumpy moment. It's cool. I love you. That seems to be more significant. And listen, we're in a day where people are, they're scared to talk about this nuance. You know, it is what it is, but I have found that in our relationship that it's my softness and my loving, attitude that makes Laird, maybe personally decide he'd like to continue towards being a, you know, the best version of himself.
How does Laird or a male partner inspire softness in the female counterpart or you in this case?
Well, I think it's naturally understanding in the vibration for me, especially that I am with somebody who will love me and be of service, but it won't take my shit. Not really. And it's not about a force or words. I've never been instructed. It's like something pretty understood that I have this person that, like, whatever I need, like, he's here to help me out. And he does it. Like, there's so many things that go on that Laird just steps in and does because he's looking after me. But I know, I just know. So I think part of it is he's cultivated his masculinity. And so what people forget, it's like they talk about the divine feminine. Well, that is true for the masculine. That energy in its best and highest frequency is necessary for, you know, for the order in the world. And, you know, the Laird, I know, would protect me. Or, you know, we've had fires and he stays and sends me and the girls and fights fires. And if people need help, you know, he helps them. It's like that of service, protectiveness, those types of things, I think really, because I handle the world, you know, I can go to work and do all these things, but what makes me turn this other way within my home for, of course, my children, but is this energy that Laird brings, which is like, hey, you can be off guard now. I'll be on guard. And it allows me to explore other sides of my personality.
Something you mentioned is he doesn't take my shit. What does that mean? And what's the value or relevance of that?
Well, listen, before I met Laird at 25. I, you know, as a professional athlete, it was like, I don't know. It's just sort of, there's just certain things he wouldn't do, but he also wouldn't put up with. So you have a person who's super honest. So he's not going to be out messing around. Right. So there's just sort of like this thing of like, I'm going to show up and this is how I'm going to be, and I'm going to treat you really well. And I'm going to, you know, all these things. And I just think that there were certain things that you weren't even going to push. Or if I tried to manipulate Laird, he doesn't respond well to that type of those types of languages. If you're direct, if you make mistakes, by the way, I've been together a long time. I've made a lot of mistakes in our marriage. Laird can forgive mistakes. It's not about that. It's about like, are your intentions for me good or not? Because if they are, then we can work everything else out. But if you're trying to work me or manipulate me or do it different, then that he won't even engage in that. He'd be out the door.
And what happens in a dynamic if the masculine, which ultimately masculine, feminine,
yeah,
you know, their qualities that can be held by a person with a penis or a vagina.
Yeah.
But in this case, masculine being Laird.
Yeah.
What would happen if he did tolerate your shit? What would that do to the relationship?
I think it's about being with a person that helps.
And what you. what would that do to you as well?
In the well, way I would like feel. Myself a lot less. I can tell you that. What it is it's this. It's like a coach and an athlete or a teammate. We all people go, oh, people don't change. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. It's this. I have pretty good sides of my personality, and I have some sides that, you know, they could sit in the back seat. They're not great. So how am I in a partnership with a person that really inspires me to be living in the best sides of myself? So when I'm with Laird, that ability to have very clear boundaries without force really helps me stay directed into my best sides of my personality. And so that's what it looks like when there's boundaries. When not, all of a sudden, if I start to take over or say, we should do this, or you should do that, or why'd you say that at dinner, or just kind of all these slow trickling things about how we start to control one another,
yeah,
which is a no-go. I think each person is a separate person, and there's these moments that you're overlapping, whether it's as a family, as a couple, as parents, whatever it is, but you are separate people. So me staying in my business, you know, like Byron Katie says, there's three types of business: my business, your business, and God's business. It's the same with Laird. Like, in a way, I stay out of Laird's business. I'm here to help him out and love him and do whatever, but I got to worry about my business. I got to be taking care and doing my work on myself. So I think those boundaries just keep pushing me back into, yeah, what are you really in charge of, in control of?
I want to take a moment and share something that I find invaluable to improving my sleep. Stress is a common factor that affects everyone in today's fast-paced world, leading to all sorts of different issues. What if the answer to a better stress response is in fact a key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium. Actually, I'm specifically talking about Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could be causing a multitude of other health problems. What sets Magnesium Breakthrough apart is its ability to support several different things. One, healthy levels of stress hormones such as cortisol. Two, a better balanced stress response in both your nervous and hormonal systems. Three, healthy production of GABA, the relaxing neurotransmitter, leading to a more peaceful and better flow state. This means that this supplement acts like a brake on your body's nervous system, helping to calm and soothe, promoting a better quality of life. But you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. Truth is, most magnesium supplements you'll find in health food stores use only the two cheapest synthetic forms. And since they're not full spectrum, they won't help your magnesium deficiency or do much to support your health. There are actually 7 key forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress balancing effects. That's why I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep, all in one bottle. Simply go to buyoptimizers.com/align. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code align10, there are always amazing gifts with the purchase. I'm a massive fan of Bioptimizers. I'm a massive fan of their Magnesium Breakthrough supplement specifically. So if you want to get yourself 10% off, jump over to buyoptimizers.com/align. Use promo code align10. That's buyoptimizers.com/align. Align10 promo code. Get yourself 10% off. I know you guys are going to enjoy.
How does a masculine partner impose those boundaries in a way that actually feels constructive and feels safe for you?
Well, it's whatever he's willing to do too. So the point is, it's like, if I'm not going to really accept that you play games with me, I'm not going to play games with you. So first it's showing up as the thing that you're also asking. So when we talk about that energy, I think it's almost like gets implied by your conduct first. It kind of shows up and you kind of feel it and you go, something, I'm understanding something about this person. And then, you know, of course, because we have to check, we push in here and there. And then I think in that moment, like when I said something to Laird in that one time, and he did say to me, you know, like, I had a mom. So I was like, okay, that's super clear, you know? But it's sort of like, it's like parenting in the same way. I could ask my kids to be polite or to try to eat well or do all the things, or I could do that.
Yeah.
And ultimately at the end, it's still the most powerful. So whether it's the masculine or the feminine, sort of creating these boundaries and understood, I think when we are that hope of, you know, whatever these ideals are and values that we're trying to live by and are hoping our partner would, I think when we can embody them to the best of our ability, it just becomes understood. The other person would just fall off or come on up and they're ready to roll with you. And I think it would take care of itself.
If you guys are in a place where you're heated or reactive, mm-hmm. or kind of like regressing back to 6-year-old versions of you, which mm-hmm. I'm sure happens with, you know, I don't know what the level of regularity is, but I'm sure it happens if you're a human. What do you do? What's like the order of operations?
Well, okay. So this is what's interesting. So, you know, you were saying about masculine and feminine. Some of my emotionality is way more masculine than Laird's, right? We joke, I have three daughters. Laird is the heart of the house. Let's don't kid ourselves. Like even my youngest daughter is like, God, dad is so sensitive, right? So what's interesting is I have somebody who is so loving and kind. However, because of his environment that he's been in for all these years, the worse it gets, the tighter it gets, the more pinched and squeezed it gets, the calmer, clearer, more relaxed Laird is. So when we get in these heated moments, if I finally get emotional, because it takes a while, like I don't just jump there. If I finally get upset, Laird might just lean in and just say like, give me a hug. Even if it's like we're not seeing eye to eye. So we have a tendency not to get, we definitely don't bicker because that's just, we don't have the good energy for that. Some people can do it and it's like kind of playful and that's how they communicate and that actually works. In our case, I think both of us work hard to keep the peace. And if somebody steps on somebody's toes, it's like, hey, can, you know, da da da. We've been together long enough that you can cut through that stuff pretty quick. But you just have to realize that right when I can fall apart is when Laird gets right straight down the middle. So we have that going for us. Right when I'm, you know, about to lose my mind or my perspective or whatever, Laird's like, okay, what's up? Because he, you know, I think he's trained that muscle for, we are in a very critical situation. All right, let's be calm and make really good decisions. And so I have that in my favor with him.
How is Laird with like falling apart in front of you? Is that a thing that has happened or happens? You don't need to be specific, but is there a part where it's kind of like, oh, I'm gonna hold you? And
I think it's more about just trying to understand what he wants to do. I don't know if this makes sense for you. It might. I think as a guy who has a personal mission and a quest, as much as he, you know, he loves his family, he has this internal mission. And I think his version of falling apart is when he's questioning, how much longer will I get to do this? Oh, my body is not cooperating. He's not, you know, or even things like when we were going through business stuff, he could say to me like, you know, I thought all I'd have to do is like be the best at something and that would take care of everything. Right. Like just whatever those real thoughts are. Yeah. And just being somebody who doesn't, I don't try to fix Laird's problems. I just try to listen or ask when I can tell something's up, like if he's okay. Truly okay. Not like, are you okay? But like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And so I think that's his version of falling apart. So if I can just be still and be interested, I think that's sometimes really all he needs.
Yeah. What do you think if you were, I mean, I'm sure you're around other relationships that maybe they've been together for a much less amount of time and they probably bicker and fight and there's a lot more volatility and
yeah,
things of the sort. What do you see are some of like the blank spots or vacancies or places where people could maybe show up in a little bit different way, or maybe some of the mistakes that people are making in relationships that you, from your place and life and relationship and such, might be able to see that maybe perhaps they might have a blind spot towards? Is there anything that like stands out in general?
I think
ways that people mess up relationships.
Well, first of all, is not figuring out what you need. I think a lot of us, I mean, I have my own at times, especially like professionally, like my own frustrations at times or whatever. So I think it always still orients back to what thing we think this relationship is supposed to do for us. So it's first getting people to really understand. That's why I'm such a pimp for try to eat well and move around, because I do think it's one of the easiest tools in the toolbox that we have to make all of this so much easier, right? Yeah, and so that part. Then it's this and then it's the expectations. Let's say, for example, if you have a kid and somehow one partner thinks that their experience, it's not fair that the other partner's experience is different. It is, especially when you have new kids. When you have new babies, my experience as the birthing mother is going to be very different than Laird's. So I can't resent him or be like, it's not the same. It's like, it isn't. Right. So it's having these perspectives on, like, even though we're both in this relationship, we have also different roles and different lives also. And then to celebrate your partner's victories, because sometimes, especially if it's not going how you want it to go for yourself, their victories, you're just like, that's more of a reflection of what I'm not getting. That's going to take my partner further away from me, whatever the things are. So when we can really be within ourselves and work on that, you could avoid kind of a lot of that stuff. And then it's, again, how do you make it easy? Make it easy for them. Because usually I interview this guy, William Urey, he's a conflict resolution guy. And he goes, listen, in big conflict, I mean, very big conflicts, government conflicts, countries, big CEOs unwinding multi-billion dollar businesses. It's like, you have to give them what they want to get what you want. That is the way it is. And so in these relationships, it's like, as long as it's like the dynamics are, I don't want to use the word reasonable, but if you know your partner's like, they're trying, you know, they're not just going and, you know, trying to take everything. It's like, if you go, hey man, their heart's in the right place. They're showing up. How do I make it easy? Even a chosen word. There's so many times I can make some smart ass comment. Why bother? How is that? It might feel good for about 4 seconds. And you're like, oh, that was a zinger. But one, it creates, it's like a poke, right? And, also distrust, like your partner's like, what the fuck? Like, why would you know what I mean? So for me, I think what I could say to any group, as long as listen, if you're dating around and checking it out, I'm not going to tell you anything. You're starting to even see if that's the kind of person you want to duke it out with. You got to know, like, hey, does this thing even have the legs to take the journey? So that's just all batting it around. That's totally legit. But I think if you get to a place, you go, no, man, I think there's something here. And then the other thing that might be helpful is to be like, okay, if I think I'm going to be with this person, I'm going to give it everything I have. I'm going to make it as good as I can for them. I'm going to show up for them. I'm going to take care of my business. I'm also going to not think I'm missing out on something. I'm going to be locked and loaded, because again, it's energy. And so then all of a sudden they put the energy into this person, and then they can become this thing. It's like caring for and nurturing sort of a plant, or you're like, man, this thing is really thriving and blooming. Look at how beautiful. And I have friends who, like, they bitch and moan about their partner if they're with guys. And I'm like, listen, whether you like it or not, if you say you want to be, like, I'm using in quotes, like the attributes of a king, like somebody who works hard and they're honorable and they're successful and all the things, whatever you think you want, then guess what? You got to treat them like that. Mm-hmm. And so beating each other down gets you 0-0. So it's just like, I wouldn't say it's a mistake. But if you're miserable in your own life, it's going to be hard no matter who you're with.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to want to offload that inner critic and that inner, maybe even like hatred or lack of acceptance or anything. It's like, it's too much for you to hold. So the likely place for it to go would be the person that you're closest to.
Yeah. So I think I see that quite a bit. And then finally, I will say this, whether people like it or not, people go, oh, relationships are so hard. They're so hard. Yeah. They might be hard. But if you're walking around being like, it's so hard.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, what isn't hard? What thing do you do in your life that isn't great? So in a way, sometimes walking around and being like, it's so hard, it's so hard. It's like, okay, maybe that's not the spirit. It versus like the excitement of the opportunity to be with somebody. and the understanding of like, yeah, and like everything, it's going to take, I got to pay attention.
What do you feel like you need to do within yourself to be able to engage in a healthy relationship with another human being? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's when I'm not looking to get anything from them, really. Now, if you say to me, what do you think that you do get from Laird that you probably want? It would be that sort of that love and to experience being that side of my personality that he's the only person I'm like that with, and then maybe having our family. But if I came into it with like, I'm really excited about this person and I'm going to see if I can elevate, their life. And I'm not going to forego my life to do that. I'm going to parallel path that. It doesn't mean there's not compromise or sacrifice. Of course that is, but those are things that you're throwing into the equation as well worth it.
Yeah. I'd imagine if you've been with a partner for 28 years, I'd imagine you guys have been very different versions of yourselves along that path. Mm-hmm. What has that been like? How do you maintain, I'm this version? You know, probably every 7 years or so, you're pretty much a totally different person, at least like biologically speaking, but like mental, emotionally, you know, psychologically, like you're kind of a totally new human being and you're with a totally new human being. And you also have years of baggage of stories that perhaps could place them back into a past version of themselves that may not actually be consistent with the moment. How does a relationship navigate that dynamic of like past, present selves?
But that's that waking up every day and saying, okay, I'm going to show up today and do it today. And what happens is like, okay, so, you know, without over getting into it, I would say there's two occasions in our relationship we could have, been divorced. One, certainly I take responsibility for in 2000. And Laird basically was an alcoholic for the first 12 years we were together. Red wine, you wouldn't know, always at home, doing some of the best surfing of his life, up at 4, training, insane, right? So when Laird decided about 16 years ago, this isn't working, I have to stop. And there was some destructive behavior connected to that. And it's when I was pregnant with my third daughter that Laird decided to stop drinking. But the point is that each time we got through all this shit, like the first time Laird had to kind of bite the bullet and really show up extra for me because I wasn't able, right? I was coming through being like, I'm really scared to be vulnerable and be truly intimate. And we had been together for 5 years at that time and we were married. And I was like, oh yeah, no. Like, you know, I had experienced a lot of loss when your parents leave and, you know, you're just sort of like, I'm on my own, you know, it's just more comfortable. And Laird was like, yeah, okay. Are you done now? Like, are you ready to try? And then, so years forward, when Laird decided I can't do the alcohol thing anymore and we had gone through stuff, I said, you know, one thing that was really important for me was somebody taught me about forgiveness. And that it was Laird. And it was genuinely saying to this person, because you go through your shit or whatever happens, if you, like in Laird's case with the alcohol, okay, full left turn, different behavior, let's move on. And I think it is like parenting. My kids, they drive, they're young adults. They're not how they were when they were six. So how do I view you with new eyes? And I think you do that in your partnership. And what's cool is nature does something really interesting. women, and maybe it's a drop in estrogen, so a raising of testosterone. Men, it's a lowering of testosterone. So all these sort of interesting things happen as you get older, where the woman becomes, in a different way, more direct. She's sort of less pleasing. Like, I'm not here to please everybody. I'm here to help you and serve you and love you. But if like people get their feelings hurt or something happens, I'm not like, is that okay? I don't do that. That was like in your 20s. And then by the time you're about 40 or so, you start to move away from that kind of thing. And what happens to men is I see that they'll start to almost cherish their families more. So I think if we go with, again, being individually as healthy as we can, that there's sort of these interesting cycles that will show up where the changes in both people, and again, if those values are aligned, I feel like you can not only grow through it, but you can then see them for who they are in this moment. I think you learn to let go. If you're with someone long enough, like someone will say to me like, oh, I don't mean to offend you. I go, it's impossible pretty much at this point. Like when you're with someone enough, you better figure out that you don't really want to be offended. You know what I mean? Like it's like not personal. So you learn quickly, let it go. Oh, that was last week, but this is who you are right now. Great. Let's go with this.
Yeah. It seems like that's probably just a protective strategy for a person, not letting go of the past.
Yeah. And it's death.
So ultimately they feel probably unsafe.
Yeah. It's death. I even do that with people that I know for a long time. And every time I see them, I go, you know what? Cause maybe I don't have great chemistry with them or something. I go, you know what? I'm only going to take the experience as I experience it today. I'm not going to pile on all the shit of like, oh God, the last time I talked to them, it's like, I'm just going to take it as today. And I think that can be really, really helpful.
What's the recipe for forgiveness to truly be able to let something go with someone you love and care about?
I think you got to excavate all the shit, all the weird shit that why you're upset or hurt, like all of it, like even the stuff that's like unreasonable, psychotic, mean, whatever it is, all the things, all the thoughts, the feelings, and excavate it. And then I think it's really important that you say to somebody, I'm working on forgiving you, and I'm maybe not there yet. Doesn't mean you're going to do this for months. It just means, especially if you've had a thing, a situation, an argument, an event, whatever it is, it's just being like, okay, if we're deciding we're going to work through this, I am going to come with my honesty about all the things I'm feeling, and I'm working on it. And then the day that you say to somebody, okay, I forgive you, I'm moving on, I think it then becomes almost about understanding that we keep the misery alive through the cranium and just being like, this doesn't even exist anymore, this bullshit. Why am I keeping it alive? And so kind of, you know, trying to work it out, and then just being like, what's going on now? Because all that suffering that we keep alive in our mind, it's like, it's over.
Yeah. If a person's nervous system is under a chronic state of duress or stress or fight flight, they're going to start to see hoses that they believe to be snakes and anything that could potentially be a simulacrum of something stressful or something dangerous. Suddenly, you know, it becomes a real physiological threat and stress to the person. Yeah. So I think so much of the process of being able to find compassion with a relationship or forgiveness or anything ultimately would probably come back in a lot of ways to what you said in the beginning of just like, you got to do the things within yourself to be able to discharge, you know, and come into a place of actually like, you know, just getting outside and exercising and eating healthy food and apologizing, making eye contact with people. You know, maybe not a problem, but like asking for forgiveness for the things that you actually, you know, are warranted.
Yeah. And I'm very proud. I'm very prideful. And I wasn't taught in a safe way. And Laird is the one who taught me about forgiveness. And I have, you know, I've chosen to and learned to apologize even to my children. And there's something so freeing about not having to guard a position.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank God.
I don't need to win. I don't need to win this.
No. And that's the other key right there, Aaron, is I enter these conversations and I feel like Laird does too, of like, how do we get to the bottom of it and a resolution versus, oh no, I'm here to be right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have you can either be in a relationship. What is it? You can either be right or be in a relationship. Yeah. Something I heard.
It's a death. Say. But the other part I want to say too, is let's say I'm the transgressor. Let's say I've been in a habit of talking or doing something a certain way, or I, you know, whatever the million things I could do to damage a relationship. If I come to you and ask for forgiveness, I also must be prepared to change the behavior. So I think that is a two-way street where the confidence of being able to let go, because you're not waiting for the other shoe to drop, is that person is saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, forego those behaviors or what have you, or the way I speak, and I'm going to work on it.
I wonder if, in your experience, has there been any core root traumas, you could say, that you've had, you know, experience with, like your parents, you know, growing up, baby stuff, anything that you have had to or had the opportunity to process and integrate within the time frame that you've been in the 28-year relationship with Laird, that you've been like, oh, there was kind of a before or after.
Yeah.
And I was hanging on to this vacancy or twist or turn or contraction within myself that was actually spewing toxicity into the relationship, and I had no idea. And then I was able to integrate that. Now suddenly we have this liberation in the relationship. Is there any events like that that have transpired?
I mean,
or is that too wordy of a question?
No, not at all. I think what happened is I think, especially because my dad died when I was five, but I was very much an island for a really long time. Yeah. And I decided that in my 30s, so I was already with Laird for a while, that was sort of that reckoning when we got back together. It was like, hey, I can't, it's all scary. It's all risk. Loving somebody is a risk. Yeah. And the alternative is just nothing. So it's so worth it to risk it. But within that, Laird and I still love each other different. Our love, the way we communicate, right? Like, I would say in certain ways, it is harder to be with a person like me because I am sometimes more in my mind, where Laird is just sort of there with his heart on his sleeve. So within it also is working and understanding each other's languages, and that improves too. Mm-hmm. So I try my best to, you know, speak the things that he hears, but also I am also me, and, you know, and that goes the other way. So I think I learned it's going to be scary to really put it on the line and say, I'm with you. And there's sort of no better risk to take because, you know, if anyone ever chooses to have a kid, that is surrendering. You have to, you know, it's like they say, giving your kid to the world and stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm not in charge, and it's fucking scary, and it's worth it because, you know, the risk of loving somebody and that intimacy, and it's worth it than being alone. I mean, or not being able or not being willing or whatever it is. It's like, go for it. And also, but don't be an idiot. Like, don't be like, well, I'm this age, so I guess this person's okay. It's like, you know, fight for it. Like, fight for what you reflects you. And forget the narratives, right? Like, oh, I'm 30, I'm 40. It's like, none of that matters. It's, you know, each person's life, the way they want to do it. Don't settle. But if, man, you get that idea that, oh, this person, there's something, then yeah, check it out for sure.
And I imagine there's nuance to the concept of alone, you know, where you could be alone and allowing the world in and allowing love in, allowing like this, you know, reciprocity and intermingling of energy and connection with people in a really free, beautiful way. And then there's the, I'm fucking terrified of being hurt. So I'm just going to kind of put myself into a hole and just pretend to be living, but I'm actually living from a place of scarcity and fear. And I feel nothing or terrible.
Yeah. And that's the one I mean, or that person, you might even find a partner that would tolerate that, but you're still kind of holding. And so it, because the other thing is when we say how we really feel, when we show, it's also like receiving, asking for help. This is true intimacy. Me being brave faced, me being of service to everybody all the time, that actually isn't intimate. That's out to, you know, into out to take in, right? So I think it's also understanding that to show ourselves is, and someone to go, yeah, it's okay. I accept you. I love you. I think is really a powerful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like and we can end on that note, but it's like Ram Dass said something about, you know, love is terrifying, but you can't afford not to allow it in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you're accepting destruction. And I think the sooner that you can accept that fate of I'm going to die.
Yep.
For sure. Yep. Everybody around me is going to die. I'm going to have pain.
Yes.
I'm going to lose you. I get this dog. It's the best day of my life. I know I've already accepted. I signed the contract. I'm going to be bearing this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be crying. It's going to be terrible. I accept. I'm in. But that's Let's go.
That's the real magic. You're just like, holy cow, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
This is going to suck.
I mean, every time Larry goes away on like big surf stuff, I go, well, here we go. Right. But, you know, he always reminds me too. He's like, because people say, oh, you know, you know, it's so dangerous. He goes, you can die at any time for any reason. And it's like, it's true that.
That's like another Ram Dass bit. He said he got this from like his like dead spiritual teacher person. Or like channeled information.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you've heard this. That death is like taking off a tight shoe, you know, and like you don't let's say, he's like, tell me about death. He's like, he said, death is absolutely safe, which is an interesting, you know, far out concept of like we have so much contraction and fear around what could be. But I wonder, it's something that I was talking to somebody about recently in a sauna where conversations like this arise. I wonder how much fear of love and like allowing love in and allowing, you know, emotional vulnerability and such could potentially also be tied into like a fear of one's own death. And it's almost like a micro, you know, like a petite mort, like a little like micro death of allowing yourself to open up in that way. And I wonder if you really truly came into right relation with your own transitioning out of this body, whatever that means to you.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would make loving easier.
You know? I think it would. And I think it's the idea too. And especially even now more with swiping culture, everybody thinks they're just missing out on everything.
Right.
And
you're never really present because you always assume, you know, something better is happening.
Yeah.
Just
behind
the corner. Yeah. So I'll never actually be with anything.
And there's something to be said for building something with a person. If they're like your person and their people could be, there's a few, it sort of has interesting layers that you don't get in different dynamics of relationships.
Yeah, you never have any kind of embodied awareness of what the heck that means until you actually do it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you, Gammy.
But I just want to end this by saying I still don't know anything.
Yeah, right.
I don't. Yeah. But I will say you can't go wrong if you still come with the attitude of being of service to the other person. Because by the way, if after time there isn't reciprocity, you'll say, I'm out. I'm out of here. So I think we're also afraid of being taken advantage of or whatever. It's like, don't worry about it. You're strong enough to have it to spare. And if they're not on the same page as you at this time or ever, then that's okay.
Yeah. I'm drinking some of your layered superfood matcha stuff right now.
Oh, I like it.
As a mug, I don't have the logo on. It's been driving the conversation.
All right.
Thank you so much for all of your wisdom and sharing your time.
Well, thank you.
Where can we Where can we point people? Is there a place? Is there a place
for other bad no advice? Yeah, I mean, everything is at Gabby Reese. My podcast is Gabby Reese. I try to talk very little during my podcast. And yeah, I mean, you said Laird Superfood. We've got Laird Superfood or Next BT and all that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I appreciate you very much. I look forward to hopefully coming out to do some training.
Yeah.
Pool stuff.
Hopefully, we'll see you soon.
Suffocating myself.
I know.
Becoming very, very hypercapnic in nature.
Oh. I haven't done the pool much either because it's been cold. So when you come, it'll be the perfect time we can start together.
All right, good. I look forward to it. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. That's it. That's all. I'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. I want to invite you over to the Align Podcast YouTube channel. Subscribe over there. I really enjoy and appreciate seeing your comments, getting to have a more interactive experience with the podcast with y'all over there. And we also have instructional content on how to move better in that sweet, sultry, supple body of yours. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for reviews. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for doing you. I'll see you next week.